Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland Swisher's with us today, and she's got another good word for us. Hallelujah. This message, is it still the free indeed message?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. Don't you like it?
Free in truth. In actuality.
Amen. Amen.
Not just theory.
We got it. That's truth.
Oh,
it works.
It is. He's so good, Mom. I really encourage, if you haven't joined us this week, to go back to kcm.org and listen to the earlier messages, because God has just led me on such a process. It's been such a great year for me with, and I believe it's the first of all the rest of
yes,
my life, right?
The best of the rest.
But He's so good, and He will come in at any level and any invitation that you give Him.
That's right.
If you want to ask Him into your heart and let your spirit be born again and that's all, He'll let you do that. But if you want your day-to-day life altered and changed for Him, if you want things to start working.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking about our soul this week, and that's important. Our soul and the condition of our soul is critical. You know, the Word says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So for us to prosper and be in health, our soul needs
to
prosper.
That's right.
And our soul prospers by the renewing of the mind, the renewing of our soul by the Word, by the Holy Spirit. And what I found, Mom, is when I invited Him in, I read Psalm 19 several times this week, so I won't read it today, but go read that. He's come and He's shone the light on in me and my soul where I needed some light and some things. I needed to correct some things. I had some things I didn't know were in there, you know, but as He showed them to me, He was so gentle, so wonderful. And so where we got to yesterday was talking about, you know, we all want to come to Jesus. We love the scripture that says, come to me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we all want that, but we can't stop that scripture right there, because the rest of it says, He says, learn of me.
Yeah.
Let me teach you.
Take my yoke upon you.
He says, and you know,
that means
when
do
He
what
says,
I say.
Well, you know, it does. And what I'm learning is when He says, take my yoke upon you, He showed us what His yoke was. The thing, a yoke, you know, on an oxen is the gear on the oxen that has the reins attached to the driver.
It's the steering wheel.
It's like the steering
That's
wheel.
That's right.
And so the yoke of Jesus, when He says that, He's not saying, here, take this from me. He's saying, watch and learn what gears me. Learn what steers me.
Yeah.
That's what He's saying. When He says mine, it's like you saying, you know, watch my habits and learn how I do this. You know, I used to learn to cook from you, and I learned to cook from your mother, Ma dear. And I could sit in the kitchen and I could learn of her and I could take her cooking yoke as my own just by watching her. She could say, now watch this. I remember she taught me to make gravy, you know. I hadn't made gravy much, but she taught me to make the two things I do know how to do that not everybody knows is gravy and cornbread. And I learned it by watching her, and she would say when she made her cornbread, and she was purposely teaching me how to, I'm making y'all hungry now, aren't I? She's purposely teaching me how to make cornbread. She told me to watch how she was doing it. And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, take my yoke or take my way of doing this.
Yeah.
And then he says, and learn of Him. And he says, I'm meek and lowly of heart. That's what He was trying to describe as His yoke.
I'm easy.
Oh, He's humble. In other words, His humility before the Father is something that we need to see, because He wasn't meek or lowly to the devil. But when He went to the Father, He was very open. You know, Mom, I think sometimes people think that faith is just being bravado. Like, if you're in a situation and somebody gives you a negative report, the doctor gives you a negative report, that faith would be you have to yell at the doctor. You know, that you have to yell at the doctor and tell him, I don't receive that. You know, that does not make that faith. I mean, we've all been in that situation. And I remember I was so calm when they told me that Lindsay was not going to make it.
Yeah. Well, you had the word in you.
I did. But that faith doesn't come out like with the fear behind it that has to yell at the doctor.
But you just know better, and then you say it.
I just said.
Maybe not necessarily there, but then
I told the doctor, I said, I understand what you're saying, but she'll live and not die. Amen. And I remember just telling him what I knew from the word, and I wasn't criticizing it. I mean, he wasn't hurting me. It wasn't his fault.
Right.
I don't have to yell. What I'm saying is, it might sound like faith, but that's not faith. Going to God all bravado, like, I got this, and when you really are like quaking inside about what to do, when Jesus was in his soul was struggling with the thought of going to the cross and being separated from his Father, he didn't just go in there like, yeah, we got this, and you know, he was real before the Father. He exposed his soul to the Father. Why? Because the Father's the one that he needs to get strength from. So he was humble before the Father. And we read this yesterday in John 12. And I'll just read you just a little bit so we kind of can come back to the same place. But he told the Father, my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But then he gets something from the Father, and he says, but this is the very reason I came. That's where we get that. That's where we get that sense of faith, is how we go to the Father. And he says, Father, bring glory to your name. See, he was settled and anchored in his soul right there. But he went to the Father. My soul is troubled, he said. And then in the garden, he says, if there's any way,
he knew what was
let this cup pass before him. But then he says, nevertheless, I've said it and thought it many times. You and I and the quality of our life lives in that word nevertheless, because he could have gone a different direction if he had let his soul take him there. But he didn't. He stuck with the plan. He stuck with the Father, what the Father wanted him to do. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He was victorious, not on the cross. I mean, he was victorious on the cross, but that's not where it began. It began all those times, like John 5:30, where he said, I don't consult my own will. Mm-hmm. It increased right here in John 12, where he said...
It carried him through that victory.
And he's strengthening his soul by being before the Father. When his disciples interrupted him in John 12, I believe he was before the Father, because he didn't even address what they came in there for. He just started talking about the value of giving of a seed falling into the ground. Where did he get that? He got it from his Father. He's before the Father. In fact, in John 12, where's where we'll pick up today, he said in verse 36, he's telling his disciple, put your trust in the light while there's still time. Then you will become children of the light. Or in other words, you'll appear as children of the light if you put your trust in Him, in the light. And then it says, after saying these things, this is verse 36, after saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. So He went, we see here that He had been, I believe He was by Himself before the Lord in these things. And he knew he still needed some time by himself, I believe.
He hid himself.
He hid himself again from all of them. So then it's talking about the people not believing. And then in verse 40, it says, they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Why? Because they won't open up. They won't turn to him. He can't heal them. And where we will not give of ourselves to him, He can't help us. Whatever degree we give ourselves and our life to Him
by faith,
He can help us.
That's
and
right.
If we'll let Him really in to those places that we don't want anybody to see. We don't even want to look at them ourselves, Mom. You know what I'm talking about? That in Psalm 19, it talks about sin lurking in your heart, sin hiding, you know, hurts and things. You can have hurts in there from stuff that was really big and hurtful or stuff that was just hurtful to a three-year-old.
Yeah.
You know? But it plants things, toxic thoughts, as Caroline Leaf has shown us, in our subconscious. And our soul, which contains our subconscious and our mind, it drives us. It's the thing that drives us. It either drives us away from God and His plan, or it drives us towards God, depending on what shape it's in. Next week, we're going to talk about, is your chooser damaged?
That's good. I like that.
We want to do what Deuteronomy 30 says and choose life.
Yeah.
But if your chooser is damaged, it can be difficult to choose those right things.
Well,
so Jesus is showing us how to let Him in the way He let the Father in on His struggle. We see it. I mean, I don't think people would always believe that if they didn't see it right here in the Bible. Jesus was struggling with this. The Bible says He was tempted like we are, but we don't talk about it much. But He says, come and learn of Me. Take My yoke upon you.
Well, he was looking at separation from the Father.
It's big.
Nobody had ever been separated from the Father and gotten back when you think about, like,
it's
Adam,
true.
When he was separated.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be quite a process to think about. Nobody had ever done what Jesus did.
And all the shame and all the sickness mm-hmm. and all the things
sin.
That we, sin that we...
He did it for us.
He did it for us.
He wasn't guilty of anything.
And if our soul is in shape and fit, then that is so real to us mm-hmm. that sickness has no place in
That's
our life.
Right.
It can try, but it can't defeat.
But we have to resist it.
But when we know these, when we let Him clean us out, then we bear that fruit. In John 15, we're going to get to that probably next
pruned.
Week. We get pruned. You know, we get pruned or purged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to be pruned, not purged.
Yes,
don't
amen.
You? And I want to talk to you. I want to show you today. Let's go to John 4. As I was studying some of these things, I looked at this story kind of in a new way. It really took on this whole nother level to me, Mom. This story of the woman at the well. It said Jesus was by Himself.
Where? Are, what verse?
John 4, and let's start with verse 4. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." You know what? I wrote it here in my Bible today as I was studying this. He asked her for something because He wanted to give her something. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
He asked her for something because He wanted to give her something. And so many times when it says,
coming.
You know, in that verse where it says, "Take My yoke upon you," and we come to Him with our burdens, and He'll say, "Give me that."
That's right.
And what He returns to us is very light.
Peace. Yeah.
Because what it is He wants us to give us His trouble, our troubles, and He gives His ways of doing things and His way and His yoke and being humble before Him. Mm-hmm. He gives us back this victory that just has to be believed. That's all.
That's right.
The yoke of just believing, and then you get your answer. That's not
this
hard.
Is a victory
we
that
don't
overcomes
have to do
the
hard part. We just have to believe.
Our faith.
So I just throw that in to say He asked her for that because He wanted to give her something.
That's good.
It says He was alone at the time because His disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. You know, as I was praying over this morning, Mom, I really had this morning just this real peaceful, wonderful time with the Lord over. And this is where I hadn't even thought about this chapter in relation to what I'm telling you, but mm-hmm. He gave me this just for you today. And no matter what you're going through, and sometimes opening up your life can be, it can be embarrassing. There's a lot of people, you know, maybe in leadership even, that don't want to open up their life, certainly not to the people, not even to their family or their spouse, and don't really want to open it up to Jesus either. But he caught my attention here. It says he was alone, just him and her. And I wrote here because he said to me, he'll never embarrass you. He does not want to embarrass you. So sometimes it's just shame or embarrassment that people have to kind of sort of come clean before God. You know, if you come clean before God, you are so free. You don't even mind coming clean before anybody else. But the idea of coming clean before somebody else, before you've come clean with Jesus, that's tough. So he will make you free, but he does not want to embarrass you. He will never shame you. That's what he said to me this morning when I read that. It's like, he was alone with her and he'll never shame you.
Amen.
He took your shame. It says the woman was surprised. The one version says taken aback. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Sometimes, you know, when God in His goodness and His gracious, it can just sort of surprise you like that. Don't you love it when the Lord surprises you?
My,
so wherever you are, whatever condition your life is in, just get ready to be surprised. I guess that's maybe what you're seeing in me now is just that He has surprised me with
His goodness?
Yes, and I know that he's always, my whole life has been that way, but there's more levels. There's deeper levels of His surprising you with His goodness. It never ends.
Praise
so
God.
So she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew." If you only knew,
Mama.
I'm saying that to you today. If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. You know, let's just ask Him for that right now. Just say, Jesus, I ask you for living water.
I ask you for living water.
And I believe that you have a gift for me.
That you have a gift for me.
You know, I started, Mom, about a year ago. I started writing things in I have a notebook that it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I can't send you one of these because I only have one. But I bought this and I started writing in it just not like sermon notes and stuff, but I take it to church because I expect to hear something from Him to me. Mm-hmm. I have it with me when I pray because I expect to hear something from Him to me. Yeah. So I write things in here, and I also have in my phone a section just in my notes, and I just write stuff that He says to me so I don't lose it.
Amen.
Because His words have become so critical to my
life.
Soul.
Their life.
And He said something to me to ask Him, "Lord, fill me with living water from You. Make me a well for others to drink from Your presence and grace and love."
That's good.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it is.
So I was reading, I wrote that because after I was just reading this one day.
Where
it says, John 4, He says, "If you asked me, I would give you living water."
Yes.
She said, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?"
I don't suggest that kind of a response to what Jesus says.
Oh, I don't either, but how many times have people read in the Bible that He would give us peace that passes all understanding, and then they go, "But You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't know my life."
He knows.
No, what He's saying is, what the real deal was, first of all, she was not in humility at this point. She had a lot of pride, didn't she? How can you do this? How can you do that? And really the point was she didn't know Him. But that didn't put Him off. He kept trying. He kept working with her. He keeps working with us. Praise God.
He doesn't give up on us.
He does not give up on us. Jesus replied, Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again.
Praise God.
It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Gushing, the message says, Mom, gushing fountains of endless life.
Gushing. Remember, wasn't it Leroy that used to talk about a gusher?
Gushing fountains of endless life is what He's wanting to bring us.
Praise
no matter
God.
What's going on Amen. In your life. She says, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come back here to get water. The message says, I won't have to come back to this well again. And there is that living water. You don't have to go back to the place that you're in today when you get this living water from Him.
Amen. You
there
never
is
have to go back.
A process that He's shown me that I want to lead you through this next tomorrow and the next week, but you won't have to come back to this place again.
Praise
when you
God.
Get this living water on the inside of you, it lives, it bubbles, it's fresh, and it's Him
it's alive.
In your soul.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Don't miss any of the broadcasts this week. Kelly's going to help us. She's going to teach us, reveal things to us that we need to know and act on. Kelly and I'll be right back, so don't go away.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.